I yanked on the new gloves and curled my fingers into fists a few times to loosen the fabric. New gloves, like new cock boots, were a pain in the ass. But my last pair was filled with enough jaggers, the tiny shards of metal from the choker, to make them useless. A layer of clouds hung heavy over the peaks of the surrounding mountains, with what looked like just enough weight to drop the first real snow of the season. They also provided enough insulation to keep the temperature above 30, which made up for the lack of daylight. The gray skies seemed to fit everyone's moods perfectly. The narrow strip of landing and 30% slope below had made clearing a corridor a long, arduous ordeal, flaming tempers and squashing patience. 15 minutes into the task of stabilizing the machinery, we lost the timber bucker, who'd been swamping out the brush in the faller's quarter when he stepped wrong and took out his knee. Two of us were there to set chokers around the logs for transport to the landing, but since no trees had been felled yet, I was needed to assist the faller, an ancient, salty man who'd taken down more trees than Paul Bunyan and who was just about as old as the Tall Tale too. Matson was long past retirement age, but the supposedly exciting lore of a lumberjack's life kept him from replacing his chainsaw with a television remote. His face had as many creases as the bark on the trees, and he wore a red flannel shirt that looked as if it had seen the turn of the century. And while it was hard not to respect the man for having survived decades of cutting trees with all of his limbs and his life intact, it was hard not to think that he'd be better off at home in a lazy boy, sipping flat beer and writing a memoir or something. He, no doubt, had enough stories to fill a fucking book. I'd stuck my earplugs in early, more to block out his constant stream of nonsense than the buzz of his saw. 3 times he'd waved his gloved hand over the escape route, and 3 times I'd responded with a nod of recognition. I'd been working in the woods long enough to recognize the lean of a tree and the planned direction of the fall, but Matson was treating me like a newbie. Matson had barely glanced up the length of the tree when he'd started his undercut, and to me it seemed his tree would head slightly to the right of where he'd planned. He used the same slipshod technique for the back cut. It was more than obvious that the direction was off. I pulled a wedge from my tool belt to help the lean, but he ignored it and continued. The tree trunk cracked, and as the top of the Douglas fir started its long journey to the forest floor, it got hung up in several other trees, which was exactly as this newbie had predicted. Matson shut down his saw, pulled out one earplug, and stared at the suspended tree. He looked back at me, and I held up the wedge to let him know that I'd been right. He pretended not to see it. "Sometimes it's as if the damn planet is just a little off its axle," he said with a chuckle. "I think you mean axis, and I don't think that was the problem." "Axel," he repeated. "Whatever happened to that guy?" "What?" "He used to sing some good songs," he went on, apparently forgetting about the problem he'd created. "Axel Rose, I think. Always liked his music." "Yeah, he's fucking terrific. Now, do you want me to get the peavey, or are we just going to wait until a good wind comes through to loosen that tree?" Matson swiped the red beanie off his head and scratched at the tufts of remaining gray hair on his scalp. "Let's see if we can shake it loose. Why don't you grab a peavey?" I nodded. "Good idea." Duger, the other choker setter, grinned at me as I lumbered past. "Good times, eh, Barringer?" "Shit, I'm beginning to think that bucker twisted his knee on purpose." I climbed up to the landing, and Pinkett, the rigging slinger and my boss, put up his hand before I could say a word. "Can't force a man into retirement, Barringer, so don't even bring it up. Besides, I'm not the bullbucker out here. Rasmussen is in charge of the fallers. Talk to him if you have a complaint." "I wasn't gonna say a fucking word, but if I die under a misdirected tree, then you'll be down there setting chokers instead of up here nursing your damn coffee cup and kissing your talkie tutor." I grabbed the peavey from the back of the truck. The peavey was a sharp hook on the end of a pole that, with any luck, would be strong enough to shake the hung-up tree from its tangle of branches. "Just get some of those damn logs cut up so we can fill the truck," Pinkett called to my back. Matson pointed to a section of the tree. "Hook it right here. I think it just needs a little coaxing."